As Mark has mentioned, today is an all-age service, which means that the children are with us throughout the service and that the message is geared especially for the children to understand. As we pray on Wednesdays and Saturdays together at the office, I have mentioned that my desire that such times be understandable for the children without being childish and applicable for all ages. And the series of all-age services for the summer follows on the theme of the Sunday school camp. By now, most of you who have been with us for the last month would know what that is. The Sunday school camp dealt with the Bible, Bible translation, with an emphasis that the Bible is important. Therefore, people spend much effort and time translating it so that people of all languages and cultures can understand it. We need to ask the question, if we treat the Bible as important, do we treat the Bible as important? Others do. Each of the four all-age services deals with a different manner in which we should treat the Bible, since it is important. And we'll review the first session in just a moment. But before that, I want to start some of the children on a special project. So the children can come forward. There are two rows available here for those who would like to. And from those, I'm going to need some volunteers. So if the children like to come forward. Now among the children, I need to ask, which of you like to build things? You do. Okay, who likes to build things? You too. Do you like to play with Legos?
Yes.
Yes, okay, I got two volunteers right here. I need two more. Any of the older ones sitting in the back that don't want, you want to? Okay, I'm volunteering you, Gunta. If you'll come forward, and you two, too, you can come forward. While we're talking, I'm going to let you three do a project. If you like Legos, I have some Legos for you. And if you want somebody to help you, you can ask them to come. Here are the instructions for you. How to build the Legos. You stand on this side. Good talk. And there's the picture.
So they have to build and I have to explain.
Nope. You're going to get to build it too. And there are all the parts. Think you're up to that? How old are you?
Nine.
Now that's, how old are you? Six. Well, it says 5 to 12. So we're right in the right age. And I've got one for you as well. It's the very same one.
Okay.
And here's the picture.
Lego City.
And here are the parts that came with it. But you don't get any instructions.
No! I need instructions.
And somewhere in here. Here we go, right here. I'm only going to give you a short time to do it.
What?
We don't have all morning, so get to it. Do as best as you can in putting it together. I gave an activity sheet, and I said I was going to check up on you to find out if anyone had worked through some of those questions. The activity sheet dealt with Psalm chapter 1. You might want to turn to it, particularly if you didn't spend any time in the last 2 weeks looking at it. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. What did you observe about verse 1? As you just thought about it and read this, what are some of the observations that might have just come to you as you thought about Psalm 1, verse 1? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the, well, depending upon your translation, NIV I think has wicked, I learned ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I think that's verse 2, his delight's in the law of the Lord. Any observations that you made? on verse 1. You don't have to be shy. Yes. We have benefit from being a godly person. When we don't do these things that all are lumped together in the ungodly, we have benefits. Okay, one of the questions I asked, who might be the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers around you? Did you give that thought? We're not supposed to walk in their counsel or stand in their way or sit in their seat. Well, who are they? Did any of you give any thought to who they might be? We're told don't walk with them, stand with them, sit in their seat. Well, who are they? If we're supposed to avoid them to that, those practices to that extent. Unbelievers. Diana?
And also whether they could possibly be some believers that are not actually following what God wants them to be doing too, depending on what it is.
Could be people who profess to follow Christ. There are a lot of books out there written by people who profess to be believers. And I'm not always sure how godly their counsel is. Did you think on just one of those terms? Who are those who scorn or mock? What does that mean? Now the children should know what mocking or scorning is. Does anybody, any of your classmates mock or scorn? Do you know what that word means? To be naughty. Well, they're definitely being naughty, that's for sure. That might even fall under the wicked. Being scornful is, I don't like that. Oh, that's stupid. And when people talk about that, about God, they're being scornful about God. That's stupid to think of that. Oh, God doesn't care about that. They're mocking God. Are there people around you that mock God? Yes. Ben? Today, the radio and the TV regularly mock God. We watched a film. It's not an advertisement for it, but Soul Surfer, and it portrayed Christianity in there. And we were surprised that it portrayed it in a positive light. Because most everything you would see that talks about Christianity mocks it. They make them some weird type of person, and yet, what do? We let this stuff come into our minds. We think about this, and we are not following this psalm when we do that. Blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful.
Finished.
You're finished. Yes.
I'm not.
I'm definitely not.
You have 2 minutes. You've answered. Are you going to give up? Okay, have a seat. Thank you very much. You guys can take a seat. They did it. It took me 6 minutes. I gave them about 9, and they did it. Whoops. Still ticking. They did it in about the time it took me to do it. Very good, fellas. If you all want to see it, they did a good job. So, the rest of you are off the hook now. We're not reviewing any more Psalm 1. My questions are, and Gunther, you can help, what's so difficult about doing a Lego model without the instructions?
You don't know which ones to put together.
You don't know how to put them together. Where does this go? Now, you had the picture. Did that help?
A little bit.
He got the man together. Like I said, I did do it. It took me 19 minutes to put that puzzle, that Lego together without any instructions. So it is possible, following just the picture. But it's tough. You don't know what piece goes where, and you can hold that picture up. What else did you did you learn from that? Or anybody else? What is so difficult about putting that together without the instructions?
Because if you have never seen the instructions before, and then you look at the instructions, and then you didn't know how to do it, then it would be very difficult.
It would be very difficult. How many of the adults can raise their hands to? How many of you have put Legos together? I did it wonderfully with it. I love doing that with the kids until I found out that I couldn't get up off the floor after sitting there for too long. That became difficult at that point. One of the things that you find out with when you don't have the instructions is you put it together and then later on, oops, I should have done it in a different order. And you've got to take it back apart because something else goes in between and you try it again. One of the things that you notice, I was surprised at this, but did you wonder what you were supposed to do with these things? Yeah, they're looking at these. There's three extra pieces. In case you lose something, right. Well, if you had the instructions, in the back of the instructions, it tells you how many parts there's supposed to be. And you can go, oh, there was only supposed to be one, there's two, that was an extra one. So the instructions help tell you that. But when you're putting it together without the instructions, you're going, I've got an extra light. Where does this light go? And you're looking at the picture and trying to figure, is it in the back of the picture? I can't see back there, but there's only one. And I would need two for the back. Now, this model was a fairly simple one, but building larger ones can be even more important to follow the instructions carefully. And this is the point that I want to make this morning about the Bible. Since the Bible is important, we should follow its instructions carefully. The Bible is a book of instructions. God telling us about life, what we are to learn. It says that all Scripture is given by God and is profitable for instruction, for teaching, for correction. Don't do it this way. For instruction in righteousness. This is the way you're supposed to do it. And we need to follow those instructions carefully. Now, I would break that down into two parts. If you can remember the first one, in 2 weeks when I ask you, follow its instructions carefully. Since the Bible is important, follow its instructions carefully. That's the main point. If we're following the instructions carefully, we will first use it correctly, and second, we will follow it fully. Those are the two subpoints. We'll use it correctly and we'll follow it fully. This morning's reading was from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there's one verse in there I want to initially focus on. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of God. We need to work as those who correctly handle the Word of God. Now, when you're putting Legos together, does it help to force? Well, we used to give them numbers, a threer, those with three bumps, into a slot that only takes two. Does that work? How about if you break off the end? I've never done that. I wouldn't want to break. I keep looking. And we had a lot of Legos, and sometimes it took a long time to find exactly that part you were looking for. We need to learn, with the Bible as well, how to handle it correctly. Now, Paul is talking about a workman here. They weren't building Legos. But there was a lot of other type of things that workmen did. They plowed. A farmer was a workman. They cut stone from a quarry. They laid out roads, road workmen. This guy was supposed to be a type of forester that put out fires in forests. I think that's what that guy was supposed to be. Paul's own trade, who wrote that, he was probably a tent maker. And these are all suggestions of people have had of what this word handling correctly means. Literally, it's cutting it straight. If you're going to plow, you want to plow your field straight. Follow the line that it's supposed to go in. If you're laying out a road, you want to make sure you lay the road out correctly. If you're cutting stone from a quarry, if you ordered a certain size stone, it's supposed to be a half a meter by a half a meter, you want it to be a half meter by a half meter. Anybody who's built things and have ordered something and you get it and it was the wrong size, pretty upset. That happened to us once. They were putting in windows in our apartment, replacing windows in our apartment. And we had this big picture window. It was about 2.5 meters wide and almost the full length, probably almost 2 meters high. And they're ready to knock out that old window to put in the new one. And the guy sort of looked and measured things, and the new one had been made the wrong size. Their fault. They measured it wrong. It wouldn't fit. They hadn't cut it straight, in these words. And if you're building Legos or you're doing any other type of working, you want to make sure you have things that are done correctly or they don't fit. We need to know how to use God's word correctly as well. We need to understand the meaning correctly. The difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. We need to see the difference between what it means and how we apply it. There's only one meaning. God has said something, and there's only one. There's not. You can't say, well, the Bible can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. No. God intended one thing. Our job is to find out what that one thing is. Now, there may be a lot of different interpretations, but most, if not all of them, are incorrect. Only one can be correct. But there can be a lot of applications. We can apply it in a lot of different fashions. Now, I thought of another illustration. The main illustration I was going to use for this whole Sunday was medicine. I thought that would be very appropriate for the Basel area. Pharmaceuticals, you would all be familiar with that to some degree. What if we treated the Bible like we treat medicine? How many of you have had to take medicine? How many of you kids have had to take medicine before? Oh, some of you haven't. That's great. I brought just a couple here. Things. Here's a medicine. Old wrapper. Somewhere down on the bottom there is another. I can't even find it now. There it is. This one's still sealed. Those are old ones we were about to get rid of, actually. Now, if I had a headache, should I just take one of these because it's medicine? Well, it's medicine. Why not?
You don't have the right medicine.
Well, the Bible's a lot like that. You just don't flip any place and say, well, this will be my verse for today. Come, all you beasts of the field. Come and devour, all you beasts of the forest. Now, that's not the right medicine for me today. There's probably something else in there that would help me more today. And I didn't play. That was just the random thing I took. Now, we had a man here up for 3 months, Mike, Dr. Mike, from Congo. He told us, the men anyway, about a problem that the World Health Organization talked with him about. He talked about river blindness. The adults would know about that. There's a particular illness that reveals itself in river blindness. Well, there are two related illnesses, and they generally occur in different places in the world, except in Congo. They both occur together in Congo. And there's a medication that you can take to cure river blindness. The problem is, if you give it to the person who has this other illness, it could kill them. Do you want to know what type of illness you have? Illnesses? I think so. This is a paste. Do you use paste like this daily? Do you use any type of paste daily? What type? Toothpaste. Thank you. We had a babysitter once. Kathy knows the story. We came home and we noticed on our oldest son, who was only a year and a half old, I guess at that time, a year old, some of this white stuff stuck on his mouth. And we looked, and it was really oily. And what is this? Well, we figured out the babysitter had taken the paste. She saw a tube there and thought that was the toothpaste and put it on the toothbrush and brushed his teeth with it. It was for a rash on the baby's bottom. We had to call the poison control to find out, because it says in there, not for internal use. You use the right medicine, the right things for the right use. And the Bible is the same way. We have to use it correctly. The Bible gives examples of how people wrongly use the Bible. Peter writes about Paul. Now, a lot of Paul's writings are difficult to understand, and Peter agrees with us. He says that Paul's letters contain some things that are hard to understand. And what do we do with things that are hard to understand? What we should do is say, this is hard to understand. I don't know what it means. But what some people do is they try to come up with some type of explanation that fits what they want it to say. Peter says, which ignorant and unstable people distort, they twist it, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, Satan did that too. Do you know that Satan can quote the Bible? He does. In fact, he did it with all people, with Jesus. Can you imagine the audacity of how bold Satan was to talk to Jesus about the book that he wrote? Do you remember the account of how Satan tempted Jesus? Where were they? Do you remember Satan tempted Jesus? He came to Jesus and tempted him. Do you remember where that was? Gundo? It was out in the desert. Right. Satan came along and he said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Because Jesus had gone 40 days without eating. And he was hungry. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And then he said, well, bow down before me. And I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus didn't do that. And he took him up on the temple pinnacle, and said, and then he quoted the Bible. He said, cast yourself down. And the Bible says that God will not allow your feet to strike. They'll send angels to stop and catch you. So go ahead and cast yourself down. Well, that's misusing the Bible. That's a true verse. It really is in the Bible, but that's not using the Bible correctly. And Jesus just came back with the Bible and said, but you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. He used it then correctly. Now, there are many ways in which we could wrongly use the Word of God. God told Noah, he commanded Noah, build an ark. Should we build an ark? Well, why not? The command's in the Bible, build an ark.
It was only for Noah and his sons.
Yes, it was only for Noah and his sons. They went and built the ark. I actually heard a man who believed God meant him to build an ark. That's misusing the Bible. And there's a lot of commands in the Bible that are not for us. We go through the Old Testament and they were told to circumcise their baby boys and they had certain feasts to keep, and we're told in the New Testament, well, that's not for us anymore. So we have to be sure and use the Bible correctly. In Acts 2, it says that the early church met every day. Should we meet every day as a church?
We
Oh, you're going, that'd be like school.
No, I'm just on
Sundays. No, we shouldn't. Well, you said just on Sundays. Well, why shouldn't we meet every day? The early church did.
Because if we meet every day, then we'll miss school.
Yeah, we meet every day, you'll miss school. Some of you might like that. I don't know. Well, the thing is, there are examples in the Bible that can be helpful, but they don't tell us necessarily what we must do. And even the example of meeting on Sunday isn't a command that you must, although many Christians have taken it as a command. And it was interesting in Germany, back in the early 70s, there was an oil crisis. And many of churches who previously had said, well, you have to meet on Sunday, you can't meet any other time, Germany set a law, you're not allowed to drive on Sunday. No driving on Sunday. Well, some of the churches met on Saturdays then, so people could come. Well, that's okay, because it's not a command that you must. It's just an example. Now, this is one more for the adults to think on. Is it true? You can answer this part of the question, but is it true that God works everything to the good for His children? Is that true? Absolutely. Thank you. Is this a truth that we should say to a friend who has just lost a close family member to death? I see some heads shaking. No. But it's true. Shouldn't we say things that are true? Well, yes, but there's an appropriate time to say certain truths. These are all examples of what I've heard wrongly done in life. Maturity and gifting helps us discern when to do it. That's the first thing. You use it correctly. Second thing, you follow it fully. 2 weeks ago, we read from a passage in the Bible which clearly speaks of Joshua. Who was Joshua? Remember who Joshua was? You know a lot today. Great. Who's Joshua? He was a man who always obeyed God's word. Well, he did obey God's word. I'm not sure if he always did it, but I can't think of any examples where he personally failed. Who did Joshua follow? Who was the leader before Joshua?
Moses.
Good. So Joshua was the man that followed Moses. You got the answer to the other question too. And God told Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. God told him to meditate it on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now that command presupposes what we just talked about. Didn't Joshua have to go build an ark? Well, that was in the first book of Moses. But he didn't have to build an ark because he understood that that was a command for Noah, not for Joshua.
Because after Noah it was Joshua, Joshua wasn't in the time of Noah.
Right, Joshua wasn't in the time of Noah. He was many years later. Joshua first needed to know how to handle the Bible correctly, and then to do all the things that God had commanded him to do. Now, every part of the Word of God is important. Every part of God's Word is profitable. Jesus said even the smallest letter or part of a letter is important. So God wants us and expects us to follow His Word fully. Now again, the idea of medicine is important. Sometimes if you've been really sick, you might have to take antibiotics. Generally, they will tell you, make sure you take this to the end. 10 full days. Is that normally what it is? Our pharmacists here, usually about 10 days for antibiotics. You don't want to stop after 5. Even if you feel good, they said, even if you feel good, don't stop after 5. You've got to kill all those things that are inside you. You've got to take it through to the end. Does it matter if the medicine says dissolve in a glass of water and then take it?
Yes, it does.
You know, I'm I'm not even sure what it is in English. What's a browser tablet in English? Do you all know what? Effervescent tablet? You know, they're sort of bubbles. Sometimes vitamins are that way. What if you just ate that directly? Do you think it's important to do everything it says? It says take it, but, you know, well, take a while to put it in water. What does that matter? I'm not sure you'd want the results of that. Put it in your mouth and then drink the water. Oh, it'd be foaming out your mouth. I read a funny story in Reader's Digest a couple weeks ago. It's a man from Canada wrote, "As director of a sleep clinic, I was unable to diagnose the excessive daytime sleepiness of one elderly gentleman. All his tests were normal. After several visits, his granddaughter," so this is appropriate for an all-age service, "his granddaughter finally offered me the solution. My grandpa takes all his pills in the morning, including his sleeping pills." He didn't follow the directions fully. It says take in the evening before you go to bed. And he thought, well, I'm supposed to take all my tablets. I'll make it easier and take them all in the morning. Then I have them done. And he ended up sleeping through the day. Unfortunately, there are a lot of examples in the Bible about people who didn't follow God's commands fully. Joshua and his people, there was a man by the name of Achan who didn't follow the instructions. As they took Jericho, God said, nobody is supposed to take anything. Everything is supposed to be destroyed. And one man out of that entire people took a few things home and hid them under his tent. And nobody knew about it. And they went to the next battle and they thought, this is going to be easy. I think it was 36 men got killed in that battle. And Joshua goes, what's happened? And they went through and they found out there was sin from this one man. One man did not follow the instructions fully. Thousands of people followed them correctly, but just one man didn't do it. And others died because of it. There's also the story that of a man. Israel had been fighting, and they took the Ark of the Covenant out in the battle, and they lost, and the enemy, the Philistines, took the Ark away, and God gave them a lot of problems. You might remember that story. Do you kids remember it? They got rats and things growing on them and plagues, and they said, let's send the ark back. So they sent the ark back. And it came back, and finally King David said, we're going to take the ark back to Jerusalem. So he loads it into a cart being pulled by oxen, and they're going along. And this one man, he noticed the ox stumbled and the cart shook, and he said, oh no, the ark is going to fall out and maybe get damaged. And he wants to stop it. Now, is that a good thing? That he's concerned for the ark? He doesn't want it to break? Is that good? Yeah, I think it's good. That was something precious. So he reaches up to put his hand on it and stop it. And do you know what happened? To what? To him. God killed him. Right on the spot. Because God said, you're not supposed to do that. He didn't follow the instructions fully. Yes, the ark was supposed to be in Jerusalem. Yes, it was good to protect the ark. Yes, it was good to honor the ark. But God said, this is how you're supposed to do it. Levites are supposed to come. They're supposed to put poles through the rings in the side of it, and they're supposed to carry it on their shoulders. You don't put it on a cart, and you don't touch it. He touched it, and God killed him. Follow God's instructions fully. What does that mean? That means don't randomly pick and choose what pleases you to obey. Well, I like this command. I like this promise. The other ones, they're kind of uncomfortable. I'm just not going to take this. If we're going to obey fully, we don't do that with medicine. No, we get, well, I didn't bring any instructions for medicine with me. But while we get medicine, I'll open it. Even we'll go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes something. I go to the pharmacy, and we buy it, and I take it home, and I open up the instructions, and I start reading through it. And it says, maybe, Paul, you've experienced this. If you have diabetes, don't take this. And you go, why didn't the doctor tell me? When we get home, if you have glaucoma, don't take this. And Kathy can't take this. She has high eye pressure. Why didn't the doctor see this? Why didn't the pharmacist ask? Well, that's what those instructions are there. Of course, now they have our 30 euros, and we have medicine we can't use. But we want to follow through those instructions. We just can go through, well, it says take every day, so I'll take it every day. We read through all of the instructions to find out if we should use it or not. Apply to yourself what you apply to others. There's one verse that's really typical about not fully following instructions. Matthew chapter 7 says, judge not, lest you also be judged. People say, well, we shouldn't judge each other then. That's not right. They need to read all the rest. Because it says, first, take the plank out of your own eye, so that you may see to take the speck out of the other person's eye. Now, if we're going to follow it fully, we're going to take that verse and you say, I need to check my own life. When I see in something somebody else, oh, they're not acting right. I just don't walk away and say, well, I'm not supposed to judge. That's supposed to be, for me, an indication, well, maybe I've got a similar problem in my life. I need to check my own life out. Well, we don't like that. We just like telling people, don't judge. I want to do what I want to do, so don't judge me. No, when I see something that's wrong, I need to look at my life. Oh, do I have that in my life? And then I need to get it right. And then if I still see, well, yeah, maybe there is a problem there, I'll go talk with that person. Say, you know, I've had the same problem as you, and this is what's helped me. Maybe it would help you too. But that's uncomfortable. But that's following it fully. Yes?
In the Bible, in the verse you're talking about, it says, do not judge, you too may be judged.
Right. If we judge others, it shows that we know that that's wrong. And God's going to turn around and say, you knew that was wrong. Why did you do it? So, what do we need to do? We need to look at our lives and say, well, what's wrong in my life? I need to get it right. Another thing we do, we like to simplify the Bible. Psalm 1 talks about, verse 2, but in his law he meditates day and night. Have you ever noticed how much it talks in the Bible about doing things in the morning and evening? We also, 2 weeks ago, we talked from Deuteronomy. Talk about them, the law, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Why do we think it's sufficient once a week or even once a day? Well, I had my quiet time today. I will do this in the morning, and I don't have to think about God's Word anymore. Is that right? No. He said, morning and night. There might be a reason that God has that you're supposed to start your day that way and end your day that way. We don't follow those instructions fully. We think, well, I'll look at the Bible in the morning, or I'll look at the Bible in the evening. We think, well, isn't that what God intends? Well, I'm certainly sure that that will be good. It's certainly better than not looking at it at all. But if he says, I'll bless you if you do it morning and evening, and we really want that blessing, aren't we going to try to do it morning and evening? It really changes things when we start our day that way and we end our day that way, thinking about what God wants in our lives. And it helps us when we talk about it. When we sit at home, and when we walk along the road, and when we lie down, and when we get up, we make it our thoughts all the time. The context of the verse I started with, 2 Timothy 2:15, our scripture reading for today, warns of false teaching. If Particularly verse 17 is of interest for our illustration with medicine. It says that the teaching of the false teachers would spread like gangrene. Do kids know what gangrene is? Anyone offer a simple explanation for what gangrene is?
It's when a limb starts to rot and then it falls off.
It's when a part of your body, the flesh, begins to rot. Just like food that stinks. You know, the meat's been left out, maybe in the garbage, and you take the garbage lid off and it... That's what happens to a person's flesh. And it sends poison through the body, and it spreads, and if it's not cared for, the person dies. And he says that's exactly what false teaching is like. That's what using the Bible wrongly is like. And it's just the opposite as using medicine correctly. False teaching spreads and kills. Using the Bible correctly and fully gives us life. We learn what God wants and we grow in the abundant life that He gives us. And we began, as a couple of you tried to build Lego models. Two were successful. You both did a good job. Gunther could not. He didn't have the instructions. That's okay. I'm glad. You would have ruined my illustration if he had gotten it done. That was a great help. He couldn't see everything in the picture. That's one of the problems. As I did it, you just have the front and you're trying to look around behind. Where did that piece go? How did that fit in there? God sees the whole picture.